Hey there, I'm an animated Connor Walsh, which is kind of ironic because people say I'm pretty animated in real life. Anyway, welcome to Walsh Wednesday, my new slash old podcast. Let me explain. Back in high school in 2013, I was pressured by some friends to do an impromptu solo acoustic performance in my cafeteria. Believe it or not, people really took to it. And it turned into a monthly musical series I did through the rest of high school. Who said High School Musical wasn't realistic? By college, I turned Walsh Wednesday into a web series, focusing on interviews surrounding community events, charities, and local entertainment in the Hudson Valley and Capital Regions of New York. Walsh Wednesday spawned several spin-offs such as the Walsh Wednesday Concert Series, Walsh Wednesday Spotlights, and Walsh Wednesday The Reflective Series before its hiatus in 2021. After that, I spent the last 3 years working in radio, honing my craft, conducting unbelievable interviews, traveling to fascinating places, attending mind-blowing events, and meeting some of my personal heroes. Now, with the help of some awesome people I've met along the way, I'm bringing Walsh Wednesday back bigger and better than ever. Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. On this week's episode, we're speaking with Andy Scullin, creator and host of Unsigned 518. He also works music relations for the award-winning publication Metroland Now and is the bassist for the band Shortwave Radio Band, which we'll be hearing their latest single coming up in a little bit. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, Tonka Williams on Aortic Health Awareness, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode ahead for you guys. Very similar to what we do here at Walsh Wednesday, our guest is working in and around the community, helping to promote local arts and so much more. Really excited to speak with him today. He's the creator and host of Unsigned 518. We're going to be doing an episode swap, so you'll be seeing me on that in a future installment. He works for music relations for the award-winning publication Metroland Now, bassist for Shortwave Radio Band, collaborator with Frank Palangi and Palangi Films, who we've had on this program, and spoilers ahead on some of those upcoming films, and of course, unabashed nerd, we have Andy Scullin. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing good.
I was going to say that was quite the introduction. You made me like sound cool.
You are cool. You're doing a lot of great stuff out there. And as I said before, you are a collaborator with Frank Palangi, Palangi Films. That's how we met. We met through Frank. It was actually through the filming of one of his horror shorts, Killer Music. I'm jealous because they just did that premiere event. I believe you were there at it. It was featured for the premiere event for the film Riding with Pride. That must have been so cool. But let's talk about that for a second, what that was like to work with Frank on that thing in particular, especially because I remember you telling me that was going against type for you.
Like, again, like you said, spoilers. I'm going to go full spoiler for it, just because, that way I don't have to censor myself. But I'm a horror movie fan, but, I'm not an actor. But Frank kind of, we met through music. He was on my podcast and we were kind of talking about horror movies, like, where I'm sitting right now. Actually, I'll give you a little shot of my.
This is cool.
My little horror shelf. We got talking about our love of horror movies, and he said how he makes horror movies. I was like, maybe I'll give you a part in something. So my first part was in American Psychopath, which is out now, like on Tubi. And that was, I just played, I think my name was Bob, and I was a character's boyfriend. And, I did very little in it other than just, I think I made a phone call and but there was no scary stuff involved in my part, but it was still like a really cool experience to be in a film. And then Frank enjoyed what I did and asked me to be in a second one, which I believe, I think it's Shadows the Clown. See, I never know the titles. But it was, you know, in that one, I meet my demise. So it was like a little more involved, and that was like super cool. And then in the one with you, for lack of a better word, I'm the main actor. I'm the star of the show, and like I play a killer.
Yeah, you're so, the heavy. You are 100% the heavy. You know, knows me,
I'm like, yeah. I am the heavy, and like in real life, I am not anywhere near that. I'm like a jovial guy who gets along with everybody and is constantly making jokes. And the direction for this was, you know, be scary.
Oh no, where'd you go?
I don't know. Where did you go?
I don't know.
You're back now.
I was just chilling, listening to you. Technical difficulties. This is what editing is for. Fingers crossed that we can get through this.
Well, yeah. This is just like adding right to my day of technology not being kind to me all day.
I'm so sorry.
I'm just like, man, I wish I was in an analog world again sometimes. But anyway, so, you know, he had me as the killer.
Yes.
And it was weird to have the direction to, like, you know, be mean and stone-faced. And we had just met.
Yeah.
Like moments before we shot the scene, and you know, not to, I guess I won't give too much away, but there's a moment where me and you are like, I mean, our noses are like 2 inches away from each other. We're like staring into each other's faces. And I just remember being like, this is just such an odd way to meet somebody, you know, to be like, hey, how's it going? We're about to have a fight on film, you know, I don't know. It was really weird, but it was fun to do, but I'm telling you, Connor, to see it, like, you know, the premiere was at a legit theater, you know, the Madison Theater, like it was a projected theater, like on the big screen. And I hadn't seen any of the footage at all. Like I didn't see any test footage. Frank had sent me a couple of, stills.
Yeah.
So I'd seen like a couple of stills, but I hadn't seen any of the moving footage. So to see the whole thing all at once was really cool, and you did a great job, by the way. Like,
thank you. I have yet to see it, so I'm very curious how it came out.
Yeah, you did a good job. Like, the, you know, there was the scene where you're like on the phone in the car, and again, that's a weird thing to do, to have a phone conversation with nobody in the car. And you played it out very well. It was very convincing, and
that's
the
good.
Physicality of your scene was really good. Like, it was great. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like, I had a huge smile on my face, and it was. Apparently, it's also not the last that you're going to see of the music producer in orange, and also apparently Bob from the first movie may
really,
he may come back because he was inconsequential. Like, you know, Frank always says, you know, if he kills you off, you're killed off.
Yeah,
you know, but Bob really didn't do anything. He just talked a little bit. So there's a chance that he could come back.
And that's funny.
If he survived, I don't know.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's really fun. And it reminds me of, there was a podcast that I listened to. They talk about like horror movies and horror novels, mostly Stephen King. But he had made a comment about like in doing these things like that we're doing, like as, you know, grown adults, like we're hanging on to like that piece of childhood. Because when you were younger, like if you had your mom's camcorder and you made a stupid movie, you know, like that felt important. Like it felt, you know, like you were really doing something, you were really creating something, even if it was something dumb. And now that we're older, still just creating things and feeling like it's really important. Like, I feel that that's the bridge to childhood, you know, is we lose that, you know, it's like, oh, well, that's just a silly thing to do. And then the more times you say that, the more you become a boring old person. And I think, like, you know, Frank, hooking up with Frank has really been a cool experience for me, you know, because I had never done it. My outlet has always been music.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that.
I love movies, but I've never acted in anything, and I've never even thought of acting in anything. And in the last year, I've been in 3 productions, and I'm like, you know, let's do more. Again, it makes me feel like a kid. It makes me feel like this is important, and it is.
Yeah.
Important for you know, my soul.
It's so cool to be involved with something like this, because you're right. It is that connection to the inner child. You lose that sense of, some people lose that sense of creativity as they get older, but being able to have this, we hold on to that sense of wonder that a lot of people lose out on. You know, I think of a lot of holiday movies, how, you know, kids eventually turn into adults and they don't believe in Santa Claus, but in our way, we continue to believe in Santa Claus. That's the kind of feeling that I get as we continue to do something like this. Also, funny what you said, how like most people know you for joking around, being goofy. You said that on the set while we were working on that. And it's like, yeah, everybody knows me for this. They're not going to believe it. It was like, huh, that's funny, because I only know you as the guy who kills me. So,
right. And it's true too, because like, you know, in saying that, I'm like, yeah, I'm usually cracking jokes and everything. I was very serious on that set.
You were,
like,
yeah.
We were filming that. Like, I was not, like, making jokes. And I don't think that was, like, you know, like some kind of pretension, like I'm, like, getting into my craft. Like, I think it was just nerves, you know? I was, like, I was just like, ah, man. Like, I'm, like, really nervous about this because, like, I don't want to make Frank look bad, and I don't want to look bad, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't want to look like a goofball, like when the role is me trying to be serious. So I was like very in my head that whole day.
Yeah.
Like just being like, okay, be serious. But
I think I had it easier because I was supposed to come in nervous and a goofball. So if I came off as nervous or a goofball, I could get away with it. No, you couldn't. You really did have to be that rock. You had to be solid. You had to be stoic. And honestly, I think you pulled it off very well. And also off the camera, I feel like we got along very well. So don't worry about anything like that. Hey, we're here right now. If we didn't get along at the time, I don't think we'd be sitting talking to each other right now. Oh, this guy wants to be on each other's show. Like, what is this?
Right. And like to go like a little further, like, you know, again, some spoilers ahead. But like I had to kind of quickly and violently wrap my hands around your throat and shake you around and then throw you by your neck onto the ground. And like, I remember just being like, and you were like, you can put some more in it. And I'm
like, you can do more.
And you're like, Oh yeah. And that like kind of set me at ease. Cause again, I'm like, I'm just meeting this dude. And like, you know, that would be even kind of weird with someone like you're familiar with.
Oh yeah.
Like, all right, you know, now I'm going to pretend to choke you to death with my bare hands and snap your neck. So
yes.
You ready for that? Like, but I almost think it was easier as, you know, to be like, hey, how you doing? I'm Andy. Oh, I'm Connor. Oh, nice to meet you. I'm going to kill you now. Like, all within like the span of like 5 minutes. Like,
we knew what we were doing.
It was almost easier to just get on the way. Yeah, because then we're like, all right, we're cool.
Yep, we're cool. I remember one take in particular, and I hope it's the take that made it in because it felt like the best take, because I had already told you, it's like, go a little bit harder. You can really go for the neck. Don't worry. You're not choking me, whatever. And I just remember in the moment, it felt the most visceral. And I could tell your concern at the end of that take. And I just go, holy crap, that was awesome, man.
But yeah, that was the one like, where I went like, went in the quickest. And yes. I think that might have been because that was like the, you know, the scene was to go from like, you know, standing there not doing anything to like on you very quick.
Yes.
And then I think the one you're talking about is the one that made it in, because I do remember being like, well, I hope that wasn't, you know, I hope that doesn't leave a mark. But
honestly,
it was really fun, man.
The whole experience reminded me of that Brooklyn Nine-Nine meme. You can hit me, you can punch me, you can stab me, I am a-okay with arson or whatever. What's off the table? Oh, you got something for me? Surprise me. Oh, you kinky little whatever. I'm screwing it up, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Jason Mantzoukas. Right? Adrian Mellon, isn't that his name? Yeah.
Yep. Such a good clip.
He's
such
a
good show. So good.
Totally.
So no, obviously we have much more to look forward to with Palangi Films. I can't wait to see the footage. I still haven't seen it. I'm glad that you and everybody else were able to see it up at the Madison Theater. Also, great theater, by the way. I've done a lot of events with them. Yeah. They're great, great people. But now let's move over to probably your biggest creative outlet, or I would imagine one of them, Unsigned 518. That was what we were really bonding over when we met in person, and we were kind of like, oh, we got very similar shows. Glad that we can do this for different demographics. This is awesome. So you can tell us a little bit about what Unsigned 518 is all about, and like, what's your goal with it?
Yeah. I mean, it started really, 20 years ago, like if you really break it down. I used nice. To work in a radio station up here, WEQX, which is an independent, you're probably familiar, independent radio station. Like, so, you know, literally like locally owned, like not answering to any corporate stuff. And I still really love that station, but I worked there like 20 years ago and had gotten the opportunity to do EQ Exposure, which is the local music show. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, like they kind of gave me like a lot of freedom, the program director at the time, to really do whatever I wanted with the show. Like, and I got the idea of having bands come into the studio, recording them live the best I could. You know, keep in mind this is 2003 or whatever.
Oh God, 20 years ago was 2003. When you were saying 20 years ago, I thought like 80s or 90s. Oh.
No, no. 2003, 22 years ago.
All right, sorry.
To make it even worse, I was 30 years old 20 years ago, you know? Oh. Like, I like to be like, 20 years ago when I was a child. No, I was 30 20 years ago. But anyway, so like I would record like myself interviewing these people and then have them do a live performance and then edit it together. You know, so like at the end of the interview, I'd be like, all right, well, cool. Let's hear a song and put it together. And I would do that like one or two songs every week. I would pick one band out of the 10 or 15 different bands that I would play on the show, one band to like highlight that would physically come to the studio and whatever. And then, you know, decades went by and it had kind of always been on my mind that I would like to do something like that and, but have full control over it. And I had, I've quit drinking for good now, but I had gone through a couple of 3 month periods that I would give myself. It was basically like a test to see like what my relationship with alcohol was. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, for this 3 month period, I'm not drinking at all. And the first time I did that, I was kind of like, I've got like a lot of, I just felt like a lot of energy. You know, I felt good. And like, and I was like, I need an outlet, you know, I need an outlet for this energy. And Spotify actually had been sending me these emails that were like, hey, start a podcast. Hey, start a podcast. You know, my music, like we uploaded to Spotify, like for the band or whatever. So I was on their radar and they sent one that was literally like, all you got to do is, you know, upload an MP3 and we'll take care of the rest. And I was like, oh, well, I can produce the show. You know, it was the back end stuff that I wasn't familiar with, the hosting, not the physical hosting, but like the, you know, the uploading of your episode and running the page. I didn't know anything about that.
Distribution, like, all that. Really easy.
Totally. Like I, that was what was holding me back. It felt more daunting than it actually is. Cause it's actually quite easy.
Oh, yeah.
But they like had, you know, sent me this email and I literally was like, I'm going to do my show that I've been thinking about for, and the name Unsigned 518 is at least 10 years old. But I was like, I'm going to do Unsigned 518. So I made this like concept trailer. Like I just, you know, came in actually where I'm sitting right now in my little like, you know, makeshift studio, and I recorded a little trailer that was just like, you know, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have, you know, bands from the 518. I'm going to put a spotlight on them. I'm going to have a full interview and, you know, get their music out there and start helping build the community. And that day, like I put it on Spotify, and the first day that I put it out, I had three local publications, like whether it was print or radio or whatever, reach out to me and say, hey, we want, you know, the show on our thing or whatever. Wow. And I was like, oh, you mean the show that I literally haven't even made yet? Like I haven't gone, you know, I hadn't done anything. I made a 2 minute long trailer that was just like, here's my concept of what I'm going to do. So that like really kicked me and got me like super inspired, and it was like the craziest feeling I think I'd ever felt. Like,
wow,
you know, I've always been my self-esteem has always been not maybe the greatest, which is why I've always been like a joker and, you know, self-depreciating jokes and whatever. And so it was really shocking, like to be like, like all I had to do is, and so I ended up going, and I don't necessarily want to go into the whole thing of that because it ended up really ugly and not great, but like I chose a publication and they like hosted the podcast, and it got it rolling, and it was really great, but it just, things ended horribly. We should talk off air about that, but it was not good. And it ended with me basically being like, I have to leave immediately. And I let all my listeners know, like, I'm leaving immediately. And that actually rolled into Metroland, which we can hit later. A good thing came out of that. Cause great. I wasn't the only one that was like, I'm leaving. And then a couple of us that said, we're leaving, started Metroland. But yeah, the goal for Unsigned 518 is, and always has been, to just give, not necessarily unsigned, but like DIY bands, people with day jobs, people that aren't making a bunch of money doing this, people that are doing it for the passion because they like, because doing it isn't easy, as you know, like doing a weekly show certainly isn't easy. And it certainly isn't when, you're adding on work, family, responsibilities, everything, So to make it even just a little bit easier for bands that have the passion to see through everything and keep going, because it's hard. I mean, doing this, I've thought about quitting 100 times. In the band, I've thought about quitting 100 times. Like, it's hard. So I want to just make it a little bit easier. And what has kind of happened is every time a band or an artist comes on the show, they'll introduce maybe a couple of their people to my show, which will maybe introduce them to other bands. And I've had real connections made through the show. Like, people have told me, like, real life friends have been made through the show.
That's
like,
awesome.
I heard this band on Unsigned 518. I saw that they were playing over at Single Cut. I went to go see them. I met the guys in the band. They're super cool. Now we're friends.
That's great.
Can we trace back to my show? And I've heard that 24 times. And like, that right there is why I'm doing it. I want there to be a community. And I also want there to be less defined genre scenes. Like, I don't feel like that as much sense in a local model. Like, we're all in a community, and it kind of doesn't matter if your creative outlet is hip hop and my creative outlet is punk rock and so-and-so's creative outlet is folk music or death metal or industrial noise or whatever. There's room for everybody. There's room for everybody, because it's about the people and not the music.
That's a great way.
Once you get the national scene, it's about the music and the money. Like,
unfortunately,
matter. But in local scenes, the people are the only thing that matters.
Big time. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why we're talking here today. That was something we related on, the fact that we do care about the people. We do care about the scene and the network. How many times I've heard from somebody too, whether it was from Walsh Wednesday or one of the other shows that I've previously produced. It's like, I got X amount of donations, X amount of volunteers, X amount of whoever coming through. Or I'd have somebody on and be like, hey, you really need to meet this person. And then we connect them, and then they start working together and they do different things. Literally this week and next week, I have 5 different meetings and appointments to talk to people just from word of mouth. It's like, hey, I worked with him on this, so you should work with him. So you never know. You never know how this is going to come to be and how it's going to work out. And again, it's all about the people.
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
Adversity and stress. How do you cope? I'm dealing with a voice issue right now, my own adversity and stress. So let's use AI Andy for the rest of this message. Take it away, AI Andy.
This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at MHA of Dutchess County. We all move on a scale of mental wellness. It can shift minute by minute, hour by hour, based on what we face. What happens when it piles on? How do you cope? Do you turn to the bottle or vape? Do you medicate with pills not prescribed for that purpose? Do you become short-tempered and argue with others? Are you quick to road rage? These are self-defeating and negative reactions, and they're unhealthy and can lead to self-inflicted further stress. There's no shame in seeking to improve you by engaging in self-care with a therapist. If you do not know where to start, talk to your primary care physician. You can always contact Mental Health America of Dutchess County at 845-473-2500, and if we don't have a specific program to help you, we will help guide you to one.
Thanks, AI Andy. You sound pretty good.
Thanks, Andrew and AI Andy.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
September will be Aortic Disease Awareness Month. To prepare us for September, we have a message from nurse leader and health advocate, Tonka Williams.
Peace and blessings, family. I am Tonka Williams, a proud Black woman, a nurse, and your advocate for cardiovascular health and wellness. We're going to talk about something that's quietly claiming the lives of too many of us in the Black community, aortic disease. The aorta is your body's largest artery. When it weakens or tears, it's just not a health issue. It's an emergency. And the painful truth, many of us have never heard of it before. And if we have, we don't always know the signs or how to protect ourselves. That ends today. This isn't just about personal health. It's about protecting our families and building a future where our people thrive. Advocacy is our inheritance. Learn the signs. Get your pressure checked. Ask your doctor about your aorta. Talk to your family. This is how we protect our legacy. My heart, my health, my power. Stay safe, stay strong, and stay here with us. Thank you, and may you walk in health, purpose, and power.
For additional information, please visit the John Ritter Foundation website, johnritterfoundation.org. And please check out the full video at Tonka Williams' YouTube channel, at Tonka Williams-Aortic-Awareness. Up next, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications.
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Woman-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law, Tonka Williams on aortic health awareness, and Walsh Valuation. Before we throw it back to the interview with Andy, we're going to spend some time with his band, Shortwave Radio Band. This is their latest single, Shorts in a Hoodie. So I do have more questions about Unsigned 518, but I want to leave that for a little bit more after this. You talked about how working with this one publication with Unsigned 518 helped lead into Metroland Now. Let's talk about that for a second, what you do there and what's that like working with. It sounds like a good group of people there that you met through your past now coming all together.
Yeah. Basically, again, without going into to super detail, but once I left the previous one due to two reasons that I'm not even comfortable saying out loud, other people followed suit immediately. Like, you know, within minutes, it seemed like, you know, it was just like, nope, not dealing with that. You're on, you know,
whole whatever. Exodus and then whole exodus of people.
Yeah, 100%. And Erin Harkes, who is huge around here, she's been,
I've worked with her. Yes.
Yeah. She's a comedian. She's a musician. She's like, she's everything. She's like the hardest working human being in the area. And she also, was like embedded with that previous publication. And there was just one day, maybe, I don't know, a day or two after the fallout. And Erin and I, like, you know, we knew each other, but we weren't like super close. And so it was kind of bizarre to get a text from her that just said, hey, we need to chat. And I was like, you know, okay. And then me, her, and TJ Foster of the band Eerie, who was also in the publication, we met over coffee. It was like February. So almost 2 years ago. And we met over coffee just about what can we do to fill this void and to create a place of safety, of inclusion, of, you know, of welcomeness, just like all the things that we felt had been falsely put in front of us under a thin veil, and come to find out that all of those things were very prevalent. So we were like, let's, you know, make it a place. And it was, you know, obviously Erin is such a force. Like,
powerhouse.
Me and TJ were basically, whatever you decide, I am right behind you. Like, you got, you know, we were like, you have our support no matter what. Like, let's do this. And, you know, time would go by, like there'd be, you know, weeks where I wouldn't hear from her. And then, you know, I'd just get a text that would just be like, hey, just letting you know, I haven't forgotten about you. Things are in the works, you know? And then literally one day, like to truncate the story or to shorten it up a little bit, she, one of the text messages was just like, can I call you? And I was like, yeah. And she told me that she bought Metroland. And Metroland was a publication years ago. Like, it has been gone. I think like 2012, it was gone, but it used to be the Bible of what was happening in the Capital District. It was, I think it was weekly then. I might be wrong, but it was where you saw where everybody was playing, all the concerts were playing, what was going on at, you know, Northern Lights or Lark Hall or whatever, you know, all these.
Yes.
And then it went away and it was gone for, you know, a full 10 years or so. And she had gotten in touch with the original founder of Metroland and gotten his blessing to, you know, to relaunch it and have it be like, it's hers, you know, it's not like she's just using the name. Like, you know, she did everything legal and now it's, that's why it's called Metroland Now and not the Metroland. Mm-hmm. Just a slight change in the name, but you know, it's with the blessing of the original founder of the paper, which is huge, you know, like
it's huge.
And she originally said, she was like, you know, I think we'll just start small and we'll just do a website and then maybe build a community calendar. And then she's like, you know, maybe down the road we'll do something in print. But, you know, that's a, and next thing you know, it's like, no, we're going to do print, but we'll only do it like four times a year. And
fair.
I was like, okay. And then she's like, no, we're doing it every month. And I was like, okay. And then it like, you know, we had a small team. I think we were seven of us when we started. Mm-hmm. It was me, TJ, and Erin, and then Alyssa Ebersole, Rory Graham, and Kiki, and James Mullen. Yeah, and I think that was us. So that was like writers, photographers, and editors. Like, we're all represented in the seven, and I was none of those things. So, I became a writer, and I've literally never been a writer in my life, and I have published, I don't know, 30 something articles probably at this point, because I have between one and three articles in every issue, mostly album reviews or interviews, but mostly album reviews.
Cool.
But I really like writing, and I would have never thought, but I found that I'm actually like, let's toot my own horn, but I'm pretty good at it. Like, you know, and that's kind of where I'm at now, is doing a lot of the writing every month. TJ's the associate editor, and Erin's, you know, runs the whole thing. She's the editor in chief. Mm-hmm. And we're now going to start, you know, because Unsigned 518 is officially a Metroland podcast now.
Like, there you go. Cool, cool.
We merged brands. You know, obviously I still, you know, control it, but mm-hmm. it's part of the Metroland family of podcasts. Like, my cover art represents that, you know, it's in Metroland's colors and their logo, which I thought was really important for me personally to be like, this, you know, the show is part of Metroland, and
yes,
it makes me feel pretty proud to see that. And then not only that, but I'm getting some more podcasts coming for Metroland, and I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement now that Angelina Valenti, who is a singer-songwriter in the area, very, very well-liked and known, and, you know, one of my good friends, she is launching a podcast, I think next week.
Oh my gosh.
Our first one out.
It's crazy.
Produced by me, hosted by her. We've been working on it secretly for several months. We have, I think, the first 10 episodes in the can, like, totally done. And, like, it's been a long time coming. We've been working on it really hard. It's called Two Normal People, and it's like TOO, normal and people. So it could be either way, whether it's two or just, you know, hey, we're talking two normal people or whatever.
Yep.
But it is so good. And I'm not just saying that as executive producer, like, it is so good. It is not music related. It is literally just heart to heart, vulnerable conversations with musicians and people like in the, you know, in the scene. I was actually the first guest. I talk about personal things that some of my close friends have never heard me say.
Oh, wow.
Like, I get really deep. In the first three episodes, I think there's two or three instances of crying, like, or choking up, you know? Like, it's really good. Like, I'm so proud of it. Like, it's just an unplanned conversation. And Angelina just has this way of, I don't know, like, my guard just went immediately down. And I'm like, I know anybody in the world can hear what I'm saying, but to me, I was just telling her my, like, you know, past traumas. And it was, it's cool. Yeah. So that's going to be, I think, what was it? August 3rd, I think, is the first one, but that'll be a weekly podcast from here on out.
August 3rd. Okay. So that will be this coming weekend. Very, very cool. Yeah. And so,
or maybe it's the 4th. No, whatever. It's coming in the next couple of days.
All right. Gotcha. So with that, that's fantastic. So I'm imagining that people can go to Metroland now in order to find the links to listen. Where's the best place where people could probably find, I guess, Two Normal People along with Unsigned 518, since, you know, it's all under the same umbrella?
Yeah. Once Two Normal People launches, it'll be everywhere. Spotify, Apple, Amazon, like, literally any single place you can get podcasts, and definitely on themetroland.com.
Terrific.
It may take an episode or two for us to get it up on there and streamlined. I don't know how back end stuff works, but yeah, if you go to themetroland.com, there's, you know, right on the front page, there's like previews, reviews, and interviews. There's a concert calendar for music, there's an arts calendar, and then under departments, it's podcasts. And I have my podcast is up there, and Erin also has a podcast, which is excellent. Like, it's called Mistress of None, and it's really good. And it's, again, kind of just talking to people in the scene, not necessarily interview questions, just like, you know, just like this, two people talking. You know?
Yeah, it's absolutely. Really, no, that's so cool. I'm very interested. And you said that's called Masters of None, right?
Mistress of None.
Oh, Mistress of None. Okay. Ooh, I like that. No, because the reason why I ask, a very common thing we've talked about on Walsh Wednesday, Jack of all trades, master of none. But do you know the second half of that phrase?
I do not.
The second half of that phrase. And it's funny because so many people don't know it. Jack of all trades, master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one. And that always seems to come very big into play, especially with a lot of creators and a lot of different things that we have to become these days. You know, if my original vision worked out, I would have been solely a musician. But I'm a musician, I'm a producer, I'm an editor, I've worked in hospitality, I work in live sound, I work in recording, I do all that commercial work, I produce other people's podcasts, literally all the different tools. But again, Jack of all trades, often better than the master of one. And it's helped me out. And it sounds like it's helped you out. It's helped Aaron out. It's helped everybody at Metroland Now out. That is really incredible. I'm really proud of all you guys, Andy. That's so, so cool.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it feels good to set out to do something and then feel like we're doing it. Like, you know, absolutely. In the last year, you know, I've seen myself on the cover of Metroland. I've seen myself within the pages several times as stuff. But not only that, I've seen my name on the big screen. I've seen myself in two movie premieres. You know, I'm like, what is going on? Like, and it does kind of stem from the people, just, you know, like, and again, like with Frank, like I met Frank because of Unsigned 518. You know, I had heard his name, so I was a musician. I was like, hey, you want to be on the show? He came on the show. We talked about movies. I'm like, I didn't even know. And that led to, and it was basically, I'm like, I got a good vibe from the dude. You know, I'm like, he seems like a really, really nice human being. So I trust him, you know, and I'm like, what are you working on? Whatever it is, I'm in. Because of you, you know? Like, if it was a shady person with a shinier piece of fruit, it wouldn't have as much of an impact, you know?
Big time.
Like, I'd rather just do cool stuff with cool people. Like,
absolutely.
Keep it on this level, you know?
No, absolutely. So one thing that I'm very curious about as I'm hearing all of this, you know, you were saying how you started a lot of this, you know, 20 years ago, but now in like the last couple of years, a lot of things have been flourishing. Obviously, I don't know what exactly has happened within the span of those full 20 years, but it sounds like it's taken a lot of time to kind of get to this point of like great excitement, great growth. What do you say to people out there who are like really grinding and they're hoping to see instant results, but it doesn't always happen? Like, talk about that perseverance for a second.
Well, I mean, first of all, it like results is a weird way to look at it, I think, because once you get a result, you don't try anymore. You know, why would you try anymore if you got the result? So like, I've always kind of thought of it as less of like an end game. Like, I'm not working to do something and then call it a day. Like, my thought was always to just get into something that makes me appreciate being alive. And like, if you listen to the episode that I'm on with Angelina, like I kind of talk a little bit about the last 20 years and how, you know, sometimes things were not so great, like, you know, really not so great and really not a positive outlook. And to get through something like that gives you a different perspective where it's like, oh, the thing that I thought that would kill me turns out, you know, with a little bit of distance in the rear view, like turns out that actually forged me. And like made me stronger, you know, like, and I didn't want to waste that. Like, I'm not the same person now that I was 20 years ago. Like, I was very much a weak human being when I was younger. Like, I was scared of everything. I was scared of making moves. I was scared of what other people were going to think of me. And I went through something like, you know, an interpersonal relationship that messed me up so much that when I came out of it, I was like, oh, turns out they were all wrong. You know what I mean? I was like, that, you know, they were wrong. I'm way stronger than they are. And they were trying to convince me that I wasn't, because if I knew what I could achieve, I would have left them in the dust. And that's like kind of how I felt. And now I like truly like myself. I think I'm like a, you know, I think I'm doing good. And I think I'm doing good in an honest way. I'm true to myself. You know, people have definitely taken shots at me, like while I'm here, and while like that normally would break me, like now I'm just like, I don't care. Like, yeah. I don't care, you know? And I mean, I still do, I guess, care that, like, you know, people are coming at me with negativity or whatever, but, like, not really.
Certainly it's the level of resilience that you have now. You let it roll off your back. You are confident in who you are and what you're doing. And I got to say, I think you're a cool dude. So, like, I'm glad that you have come into your own and finding your own and continuing to keep figuring it out and keep finding a reason to feel happy about being alive. I love that. And that's kind of how I'm feeling over here, too. You know, like, I've worked for companies. I've worked for, God knows, crazy instances, and now just kind of building this on my own. Sure, it's hard, but I'm proud of it. And that's what leads into what I really want to talk about as we start wrapping up this episode. And don't feel like you have to rush it or anything, but probably the last topic, the moments that you're proud of. You know, I know myself, I have some great stories that I get out of this job or previous jobs in similar vein of I get to work with this person, or I got to do this, go to this event. I did this that really inspired me. I have countless stories, and I'm sure you do too. Do you have a couple of those moments that just made you stop and be like, wow, this is so awesome? Yeah. Do you have any you want to share?
I got one right here.
Oh, is that the Eddie's Award?
That is the Eddie's Award, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest. I mean, we got that, our little ragtag team for Metroland now. We were best art publication of the year at this year's Eddie's. And, you know, like to be back, we hadn't even been around a year when, you know, we haven't been around a year now. But, like, we had only been around, like, 4 months or something like that. So, like, it made a really big impact. And to be on that team, you know, and not just, I mean, and nobody on the team, you know, now even that has grown is just like a number, like every single person. And I think that's why it's gonna continue to grow and be big, because every single person that's on there on that team is on that team for a reason and is on that team with the support of everybody else on the team. Because if somebody wanted to join the team and one person said that person's a problem, you know, conversation's over. They're not on the team, because the person that's already on the team would be uncomfortable with it. And so everybody that's there is there, like I said, with purpose and reason and absolutely deserve to be there. But to be on that team was just, it was nuts, you know, because actually my podcast, like Unsigned 518, was in the same category for an Eddie. And that was enough of a life. I was like, me, was nominated. And I was like, please don't let me win. I do not want to win for just my podcast, because even though the things kind of were already in place beforehand, but at that point the podcast was Metroland.
Yes.
So a win for Metroland was always going to be a win for me and for Unsigned 518. Yeah. Whereas I think a win for Unsigned 518 would have just felt, you know,
I didn't want it. I think you could still play into that, where it's like a win for Unsigned 518 is still a win for Metroland. I see where it's harder to kind of forward face that, publicize that whatsoever. I get what you're saying. I think it's a solid win both ways, but I hear what you're saying on that. That is funny though, but that is so cool to be able to get that recognition so early out of the gate, bringing this legacy back of Metroland to now Metroland Now, which again, great name, how it is, you know, this is what it is now. And also for anybody who's unfamiliar with the Eddies, we've talked about the Eddies once or twice on the show before. The Eddies are essentially the Grammys of New York, hosted out of the Capital Region. So that's a pretty good way to sum it up for anybody who has no idea what we're talking about. We do have people from all across the country and a couple of different other countries that listen to this. So be like, what the hell's an Eddie? But yes, that's essentially what it is.
The Thomas Edison Awards.
Yes.
Is what it's the full name.
Yes.
The Thomas Edison Awards.
Yep. Because of the
So winning that was like, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the whole phonograph thing. That was one of the reasons why they named it that. Yeah.
But yeah. Winning that was certainly the, like a big, a big thing. Also, like, I do a show for my birthday every year.
Oh, fun.
And it's in May. And, you know, I bring like a couple different bands. Like, I think that we do four different bands, and I do like a multi-genre lineup. We call it Andy Palooza. full disclosure, I hate the name.
Oh God.
I hate the name. I did not come up with it, and it is far too late to change it. Yeah. But it is like really cool to me to see how that has grown and to kind of be like the center of that, because like this past year, you know, we had a ton of vendors, we had all these bands playing, you know, we had food trucks, and it was like packed. There was like a ton of people, and you know, I'm like, they're kind of here for me, like, which is almost as good as winning the Eddie, you know what I mean? Like, there's several moments during this year's Andy Palooza when I just stopped and looked around and was like, you know, I know and love all these people here. And, you know, how do I know this many people? Like, you know, so I think just being accepted too has been really, really cool, because that happened quickly.
Absolutely. But also, it sounds like you really had to accept yourself. And then by the time you accepted yourself, you got all this other outward acceptance. Once you finally figure it out inward, it's amazing how much will happen outward.
It really is. Yeah. Because, like, you know, comments that would have devastated me years ago, like, I find almost not humor, but I can be like, oh, well, that's a problem with that person.
Yeah.
That's not a problem with me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that person has chosen to be negative and put that negativity out in the world and direct it at me. I'm just a byproduct of that. I'm not the cause. I'm not the reason. You know what I mean? Like, so that's something that came from that.
It's funny because I also get, when I was working at my old radio station job, we got a lot of different comments on the articles or various things we put out. Even every once in a while, when I put out a clip of Walsh Wednesday, we'll get comments on that too. I'm no longer about like, oh, they said this mean thing, I don't care. I'm like, write whatever you want, as mean as you want. I don't care. You're feeding the algorithm right now. You're only making me stronger. Give it to me. So
sometimes the meaner stuff actually helps. You know?
It can. Like, I'm not Walsh Wednesday. Anything I do, nothing I do will be mean-spirited by any means. And that's not the point that I'm trying to make. But if that's the comments that help get the algorithm going, to help bring in the right people and bring in the ones that are on board with this, so be it. So be it. I've converted some of the haters too, because I just respond back with positivity and they're like, oh dang, you're actually really cool. Like, damn.
I do that all the time. Like, I try not to feed it. You know, sometimes it's tough, like, especially like, you know, transphobic stuff and homophobic stuff. Like, it gets me mad. Like, and like when I see it, like, you know, a lot of the times I just comment on it, and it's gotten me into trouble a couple times, you know, cause I'll just kind of instinctually like kind of want to stick up for my homies, and I'll say things and then realize I probably should have stayed out of it, but I still don't, you know.
Yeah.
I never regret sticking up for people, but
absolutely
it has brought me some heat.
Absolutely. You know, like, you know, a big topic that I'm big on, especially right now, you know, with the Superman movie coming out. And I think this is a great way of looking at it as well. A lot of people are looking at that movie with a lot of sense of hope and realizing that saving the day is not for just one kind of person. Superman is for all. So people are kind of getting the sense of, oh yeah, kindness is for all. And I think that's a great message above all. Absolutely.
Yeah. And he saves a squirrel in it.
I know. Like, saves a squirrel.
And I was like, that's amazing. Like, I love that. You know, we need more stuff like that. Because I like, you know, kindness goes a long way a lot of places. And like, I'm just to give you a little more insight to me, like, I drive into work very early in the morning and I see a lot of wildlife. I see a lot of deer and raccoons on the road and everything. I say hi to them as I pass.
Like, I love that.
Good morning. Oh, good morning. And I say it out loud and I wave and I do this with nobody else in the car.
Yep.
So that's a little insight to me.
Well, just to add on to that, I don't have probably as many early mornings, but I have a lot of late nights. And a lot of times I'll see the deer, I'll see the bunnies. I'll be like, oh, hi, Mr. Bun Bun. How you doing? Oh, there's Mrs. Bun Bun. I will literally, I will say that out loud. I don't care. I see a deer on the side of the road. Bambi, what up? up, you know, things like that.
Most of the time I'm going, hey, dude, get out of the road. What are you doing? Come on, get out of the road.
Yes.
Get out of the road.
Like, that's if they're in the road. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm talking more like on the sides or if I see on a yard or something. Yeah, no, without a doubt.
Right.
Andy, this has been a really great episode, great interview. I'm glad that we were able to talk, reconnect like this. I'm excited for our episode on your show as well. So all of the listeners, stay tuned for that. We're going to be promoting that. Yep, a couple weeks. So we're excited about that. As we're wrapping this up, is there any last little nugget that you want to share with the Walsh Wednesday listening audience?
I really just want to say, like, if you can check out Unsigned 518, it is on all streaming services. And I also do, I'm not the host of it anymore, but the Weekend Spotlight, which comes out, Unsigned 518 comes out every Tuesday. Weekend Spotlight comes out every Thursday. Unsigned 518 are evergreen episodes. So, like, you know, it's not promoting anything specific. Whereas the Weekend Spotlight is like, hey, this is what's happening this weekend. You know, so it's like you listen on Thursday, tells you what's happening Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it's relatively irrelevant until the next week. But I was so busy that I actually got my good friend BJ Schwinghammer to take over hosting duties of Unsigned 518. So now he does the sourcing of the music, sourcing of the events, puts it all together, sends it over to me, and then I produce it and post it. So it's
amazing.
Still like my show, but he hosts it. So if you could check out those two shows, I'd really appreciate that. And keep an eye out for Two Normal People with Angelina Valeni. Go to themetroland.com to see what's happening. Check out my band, Shortwave Radio Band. We just put out an album, our first full-length album a couple of months ago, and I just released a new single off that album. I did that today. Just because.
Amazing.
The album's been out on streaming since May, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to release another single. So I just went and released another single, and it's already on Spotify. So
amazing.
Yeah, go check out my music, the podcast, the publication, and Frank Palangi's horror movies. You can see me kill and be killed.
Absolutely. Now, if you're a fan of Walsh Wednesday, you're definitely going to love the stuff that Andy's been working on. You know, very similar vein. We're promoting local, we're promoting music, the up and comers, and very people centric, people first kind of media. And honestly, that's the best way of going about it. We'll have all the links in the description of this episode, so you'll be able to find all of it. And stay tuned for when I will be on Unsigned 518 with Andy. Really excited about that. Andy, thank you so much for being on this episode, man.
Thanks, Connor. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I'm Connor.
I'm Andy.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Tonka Williams on Aortic Health Awareness, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.